You have friends.
Right.
So we are fortunate that we have got the man body. Man body in the highest known position. And in man body only we can know God. God whom we want to approach is already in this man body. Man body is considered to be the true temple of God. Your God resides in every heart. And we also reside in the same temple. Both of us, our own self and God, reside in this very man body, which is the true temple of God. But pity it is that we cannot speak to God. To see God or to find God or to converse with God, we have to just enter this laboratory of the man body. That this a wonderful house we live. Macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. We have great possibilities awaiting us in this man body. And that is what when we know ourselves, know God too, and we just can traverse into the different planes of the macrocosm and reach the true home of our Father. So these are the possibilities that are awaiting us, but unfortunately, we never had paid any attention to our own self. Man in three aspects. It has the physical body, it has intellect, and it is built in man, the top of the ocean of all consciousness, a conscious entity. We have built code to the body, become physically strong. So we have also given food to the intellect, and we have become intellectually strong. We have made wonderful inventions which are before us. But all the same, what food we have used to our own self, so all this, until we give food to our own self, which is conscious entity, we have no spiritual health. For the spiritual health depends on the health of the mind and body both. So we have to consider what is that bread of life by giving which we can become spiritually strong. As I told you, we have given the food of reading and writing and just drawing inferences at the intellectual level, thinking so many ways that have given us intellectual health. We can think out so in very better ways. We are food to the solid food, to the solid body, physical body, and we are physically strong. So, until we come to know what is the true bed of life, or the water of life which is given to the soul, we can become spiritually strong. By this you will refer to the scriptures that are with us today. We have got references to these things, but we have never, we have simply illuminated over them, never gone into them to understand what is what. I'll give you some instances of the different scriptures. Christ went to a well to have a drop of water. He met there a Samaritan lady who was carrying a pitcher full of water over her head, and he asked her to give water. On account of inferiority complex, she said, well, we are Samaritans. You people have no connection with us. Why are you asking for water from us? The Christ said, had she known who it was who had asked for water, she would have given you. This water which she carries would think that quench it itself for a while. A willing man thirsts again and again. Had she come to me, I would have given him what? The water of life. There is some water of life which can be used by Christ-like people alone. The religions we are giants, as you see, we have now scriptures here, the reference to these things. We have simply considered all the very elementary steps and the preparatory steps to how to have certain form, certain values of certain religion, and how to say prayers, and how to perform certain rites and rituals. And that ends there. But we have to read the scriptures, and we should try to understand the scripture, what they say. Scriptures are what? They are fine records of the experiences that the masters had in their life with God and in knowing themselves. So, what they said, they saw, they experienced and they said. So, if you now want to understand the true import of the teachings, what they said, what reference they made in their scriptures, we must know, must come by it at the feet of somebody who had that experience, of that way of living. Similarly, you find we simply interpret these things at the level of the intellect. And that is why we are not able to do full justice work. Again, you find in the scriptures, in other scriptures too, you find the same thing. When I say, one of the literature, it is called the water which gives life of the heaven. Of course, it's in some different language. In the way that you find it, as it's sombrous, such a life which gives, such a water which gives life to everything. What it is for. Masters, others keep just note that they tell us the case that what is that water of life. You know what last tell us? That if you just come in contact, your soul comes in contact with the God pervading power,
which is the
God of creation that controlling all creation, the God in action power, that is conscious. Your soul is conscious. So that if you come in contact with that, only that the water of life will give you life. And you take that water, then you will be accepted at the door of God. And you only want to live that. But this is such a water of life,
which is the
panacea for all ages, if what to go to say. But that is, depends, that can be had only at the feet of the mat.
And
Christ said, as he come to me, I would have you the water of life, by drinking which thirst would have been quenched forever.
So this is
some water to be given by the masters. Again and again, the other part. Great. When you drink it, the same thing Guru Nanak said, that the water of life, or the elixir of life,
which
can give us an everlasting life, that is, by drinking it, you can have everlasting life. The same words I tell you, but different languages, of course, given by the same. Again, you find in the Bible too, Christ said, I am the bread of life. The bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partakes of it has everlasting life. And the same thing you find again in other scriptures. I am quoting these things to you only to show that you can have everlasting life only by coming in contact with God. By coming in contact, who has to come in contact with God? That is our own self, real. We are conscious entities. We are embodied souls. But our souls are under the control of mind. The mind is under the control of its outbound faculties. And we are identified with the outside things so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So unless we liberate our souls from mind and outbound faculties and our attention, which is the expression of our soul, which is just engrossed, diffused, the outside things, unless that is withdrawn from there, and we come up, the outgoing faculties of senses, we can come in contact with that water of life of the breath. So this is the food which is given to our soul, we can become spiritually strong. Similar reference you find in other masters' scriptures. They tell us, if you rise above this body has got 9 doors, 9 apertures. If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you will see the light of heaven. You draw your attention from the 9 doors, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth, and other joints and organs. You withdraw within There's a death door also, that the door which leaves from the body to enter into the kingdom of God. Let me call it death door. That lies where? That lies at the seat of soul, at the back of the iris, between the two eyebrows. If you have only resolved that connected to the top and the subgross, but when that is opened, you enter, you are the accessor to the kingdom of God. And here you get contact with light of God and the sound principle of God. So this is the bed of life. What is in there? It is the light also, the very sweet womb of the spheres of God. And that is the two water of life, are the two bread of life, by eating which your hunger is appeased forever. By drinking the sweet symphony of it, your thirst is quenched forever. So this is the bread of life. This is the water of life. That is within us, but we cannot come in contact with it until we withdraw from outside and rise above by the conscience. How to withdraw from outside and how to rise above by the consciousness? This is a practical service. For all masters, they need somebody who is competent to help us to withdraw from outside and doors, spirit currents of the body, up to the seat of the soul in the body, or say rise above senses, or say let to die so that you may begin to live. These are the words we find in the scriptures, but pity it is that we have only ruminated over them, never gone into the full thought what they really mean. And this true thought can be known only by those who have an access to it, who have the same experience all over all the way. So what is then us intellectual people simply define it, what is the bread of life? It is interest. What is the light? God is light, that is intellectual light. Well, that is substantial, something which can be experienced at the feet of the Master. So unless we come across the Master, we cannot have that experience. All know that is already within us. That is why it is said, kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. So long as your attention is just diffused into the world through these outgoing faculties, well, you have no existence. We must withdraw our attention from outside, enter this laboratory of the mind body, and rise up to the level of the eyes, at the back of which the two seats of the soul is there. Then you find this bit of life and the water of life. This is the gift of the Master. And you find only coming to your Master will not only do. Guru Nanak says, O man, water of life for which you have just come into the world and got a man body, that is the source of all happiness, all joy, all bliss. You can have that only at the feet of the Master.
He says,
your child makes religious. For that very purpose, and by evening talk, I was just laying before you what is meant by spirituality. spirituality means knowing oneself, liberating it from the tentacles of mind without faculties, just withdraw from the body at the back of the eyes and have a look into the beyond. To come with contact with the God in the expression power, which is God is light. And God is self-principle. So he says again, in whatever religion you are, but unless you rise above the body consciousness, you cannot have that gift. Although it is within you, and that also requires the help of some master to bring you up to that level, up to come to the high level. He says, in some religions, my God, you see, also social bodies of religions have to do with the physical body knowledge. Where badges of those different schools, colleges, religions, we have joined. We read those scriptures. And also we say prayers. And finally, we perform certain rites and rituals. These all relate to the man body, physical body. To remain in the physical body, doing all these things, you may be very regular, you may be saying prayers, prayer steady, you may be performing rites and rituals without any break, day to day. You may be reading scriptures only. You may understand what is what even to be able to sit at the feet of somebody who knows the way. Still, by reading alone or performing these things, don't boast of it until you rise with the body consciousness and have this gift of water of life and the breath of life. And that can be had. Remain in some religions. To remain in some religion is a blessing. If you don't remain, there will be corruption, or you will have to raise another religion. They are all in so many religions. They have already multiplied in so many religions that are already stood the test of times. We should remain there. But just rise above according to the teachings given by the masters who came from time to time in different religions. And they said the water of life is there, the bread of life is there. You will have it when you rise above the body consciousness. So they say, why have the meaning in your own religion? If you rise above body consciousness, the religions will only end with your physical body. When you rise above physical body, what you are? Your conscious entities, your conscious beings. You are a dog of the ocean of all consciousness. You are of the same essence, of the same religion as that of God. So remain there, but rise above, then you are already one. You are all children of God, brothers and sisters in God. So for that reason, all masters tell us that this is the gift of master. I just opened the Bible, and so, on the very page, what connection we should have with the master. There is John, chapter 15. We should ascribe self. If you love me, keep my commandments. That everybody knows. Keep our commandments means to live by the words what the master says. But here is something where all scriptures have reference to those things. You simply read them with the master. He says there, I am the true vine, and my father is the husband man. I am the two wives, my father is husband man. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that it may bring forth, and every branch that beareth fruit, he putteth it that it may bring forth more fruit. So it means, so long as the branches are embedded in the vines, they bear fruit. When they are cut off from the vines, they cannot bear the fruit. He said, I am the true vine. How you can be embedded in the vines?
By
grafting. You cut it out and put
the
branch or some other tree, even you put it in some other tree, and they become all put two into one. Simply the sense that you abide in me.
How
can you abide in him? Whom you remember at heart, natural reaction takes place to whom you remember. They say, how you can abide in the Master, you see? So he goes on further to say, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, I have spoken a word to you which
is the
cleansing power,
which can
burn away all sins, all iniquities, all infirmities,
which is the bread of life and the water of life.
Abide in me and I in you. How clear was that? Abide in me and I in you. When you remember somebody, that will react in him. When that will react there, he will again react in you. So that becomes receptivity. Such a disciple becomes one with the Master. You are in him and he is in you. First you have to obey the commandments he gives, live up to them. And the second one is, you abide in him just as the branch is rising, abideth in the vines. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You follow? Who can have that bread of life and the water of life? Who not only lives up to what he says, but he also abides in him. And how to have the sweet remembrance of the Master at heart? That sweet remembrance will react in the Master, and when he reacts there, you remember, and again he remembers that reacts in you. Working for the question.
If a disciple remembers the Master
all the time, what does the Master do? Master is not a man. Man body is God. But in him is conscious. He sees that I and my Father are one. He has no more to remember anybody. But he is conscious that he is one. What does he do? He remembers his disciples. Those disciples who remember him, he was in him. This way you develop receptivity. And by receptivity what happens? You put the same question to the Master. He may be living it hundreds of miles away. And go to the disciple, put him the same question. And you'll see they'll speak the same words. That's due to their breath, you see. They become the mouthpiece. Disciples become the mouthpiece of the Master. The Master speaking to him. This is how you have got the bread of life, and what is he? Christ, I am the bread of life, and all Masters say, we are the bread of life.
Good morning. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first part of a talk given by Master on 13th December 1963 at Harmony Grove, California. The talk was titled Readings from St. John. Our reader this morning is David Halliburton. Hello, David.
Hi, Pradeep. I'm going to be reading from Morning Talks this morning, starting with Chapter 5, entitled, What the Master Does for the Disciple. Help and protection is extended by the Master to his followers, just like a mother who looks after the comfort of her child. She cleanses its body, which has become besmeared by filth. She feeds the child and sees that it should not suffer from cold or heat. She sacrifices her own comfort for the child to bring it up. With all this, the child does not know what the mother is doing for it. Even when the mother is carrying the child, she is careful not to do anything to make it sick. Similarly, those whom the master takes under his care are looked after like a child. The follower does not dream of what the master is doing for him, but the master does not show anything. He looks after his follower in every way for his comfort, feeding, and development. He also looks after the outward comforts of his children. All facilities are given. Even the effects of the reactions of the past, from the gallows to an ordinary pinprick, so much concession is given. So to have a living master is a great blessing. As a mother sacrifices all comfort for the sake of her child, even so does the master sacrifice everything for the sake of his children. Even when the child grows up and becomes naughty, the mother cares for the child, that it should not be hungry. So, whoever comes to the master has got a great blessing. Even if the disciple goes wrong, the master does not cease to look after him, just like the prodigal son whom the father never forgot. The disciple might leave the master, but the master never leaves him. He fills his followers with his own thought, with his own life. So when the child remembers him, well, it is the master who first loves us, remembers us. When we remember him, he remembers us with all his heart and soul. He is always looking after the good of his followers. He is not the body. He is the Word personified, the Word made flesh. He is everywhere. We are simply to invert inside and see what he does for us. Even if we cannot invert, he still looks after us. The worldly people are with us only so far as their purpose is served. When their purpose is served, they leave us. Sometimes people leave us when we are in distress, ill, sick, or have become penniless, but the master does not leave us. Those who are very devoted to their parents will look after their welfare, but at the time of death, they cannot help them. They pray that God should take care of their soul, that's all. But the master does not leave us. Even on that day, he comes along with you. So you should go to the feet of such a master who is conversant with here and the hereafter, who can help you here and in the beyond. I was just referring to a man, a villager here. He is a cultivator, a farmer. He was growing some melons, and they had become ripe. He was about to harvest the melons and make them ready for the market, but it was getting dark, and he decided to leave it until the morrow. He said to himself, this is all the Master's. I need not worry. That night, some thieves came, 5 or 6 of them. They cut the fruit at one place, but could not take it away. What happened? 5 or 6 forms came up with sticks in hand and beat them 1 by 1, and they all fled away. The next day, the owner of the field saw that the melons were lying there, ready to be taken away, and wondered why. It so happened that in 4 or 5 days, those same thieves who had been laid up with fever came to the farmer and wanted to know why they had done something wrong. All right, they said, please excuse us. We are the thieves. So the farmer said, I have not to excuse. It is up to my master. The master looks after the comfort of his followers in every way, outward and inward. A true follower will see the radiant form of the master, who is to guide you in the higher planes. If anything comes up for reckoning, he says, all right, I will look after it. The follower is to wind up all his actions from the date that he comes to the feet of the master. So, to have a living master is a great blessing. He who has got a master is better off than those who have no master. Iron, even though it becomes rusty, will not be eaten up by ants, whereas ordinary wood will. So such like people who have come to the master won't go to hell. They cannot go there. They might come back as a man, because the seed sown in them cannot flourish except in the body of a man, but they are not to descend lower than a man. But if one does it in life, why should he return at all? So to have a living master is a great blessing. He guides you both here and in the hereafter. He winds up the reactions of past karmas, and for that purpose, you must go to a master. The masters are very frank. They say, what is the use of going to a master if a man has to suffer all of the reactions of the past? If a man goes to the feet of a lion, and the jackals come and howl around him, would he not be all right? So today's subject is, the master looks after his followers, both here and hereafter. He does not leave until he has taken the soul to the feet of the Satpurusha. The follower may leave, but he will never leave. In some letters written to my master, it was said, now we want to leave you. The master said, you may leave me, but I cannot leave you. I have also had 1 or 2 letters like that. I reply, my companionship will continue. You may leave. So you see how great a blessing it is to come to the feet of a living master, the God in him, of course. How fortunate you are. Through your meditations, you develop your love for him, which is already within you, of course, with his grace. It is first he who loves us. Our love is just reciprocal. Then you are not to return to the world. Why? What for? If you learned to transcend into the beyond, thereafter he looks after you until he takes you to the feet of the Satpurusha. These things are even given in books. Maulana Rumi said, sit at the feet of such a master who knows here and hereafter, who can extend you help and protection in the physical world, and even when you go into the beyond. All others will leave you, but He won't leave you. What behooves us now? Just keep His commandments. If you love Him, well, He loves you. Your love is reciprocal. He will love you more if you keep His commandments. He wants you to be pure. Just wind up your affairs by undergoing the Prarabdha karma. He won't touch that. Otherwise, a man would die all at once at the time of initiation. Spiritual deeds draw the line within, which you should work, and will make you a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. When you see that He is the doer, then who will bear the fruit of any reactions of the past? So you will find that to have a living master is a great blessing, both here and hereafter. We are only to abide by what He says. When you sit in a boat, well, sit in it. Don't plunge outside. You will be taken to the other side of the river. Even if you fall out, every effort is made to prevent you from drowning. Those who do not abide by what He says, even then He does not leave them. Once He has sown the seed of Nam, that must sprout forth. So, every day, you are getting something new. It is not really new. It is already there. You have to just thank God for the blessing you are having. Everybody will leave you. But at the last moment, He will say, "Come on, please. I am with you." Even now, if you leave the body, He is with you. Chapter 6. How to Develop Love for God. We want to meet somebody who can tell us about the man whom we want to meet. So, by hearing his words, our attention is diverted in that direction. Even to think of him about whom we have heard, naturally you would like, when that desire grows strong, to meet him. You would like to be in that country where he resides. When you reach that country, you would like to go to the town where he lives. When you go to that town, you won't stay anywhere, but will go straight to his house. This is but natural. So for those who have got the human body, this is the golden opportunity in which they can go back to their Father. But first of all, they have to know about the Father. In the scriptures, we read about those saints who met the Master, who saw the Master, in whom the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. He will tell you of his first-hand experiences with God, by hearing which your desire will naturally increase, so much so that you would also like to see him, to have the same experience of God as has the Master. So by reading the scriptures about those masters who had first-hand experience of God, our attention is diverted in that direction. By doing certain practices, by reading scriptures, by praying for this and that, what is all this for? So that his sweet remembrance may reside in our hearts. God is love. Our soul is of the same essence as that of God. It is also love. Love knows attachment. We are conscious beings, and our love should be for an all-conscious being. Instead, it has been attached to the physical body and environments, and is called attachment. We come again and again to the world where we are attached. The man body is the golden opportunity that we have got in which we can change our love from the world to God. Kabir says, if we have neglected this subject all through life, now we should wake up and divert our attention from the world to God. So for that, what do we have to do? First of all, we read the scriptures in which past masters are speaking about God. We hear about God, learn about God, through past masters speaking through books. This causes a desire to arise. It grows strong, and we feel separation. In his sweet remembrance, naturally the heart becomes full, and that bursts forth in tears through the eyes. So all these outward practices, reading of scriptures, are meant only for what? That the desire to see God, love for God, should develop. What is the criterion of love of God? Whom you love, he is always in your heart. You never forget him. If you want to love God, then what should you do? You should remember him every second of your life. Never forget him. When you love somebody, naturally, constant remembrance of that person remains in your heart. You wish to have love for that person, and naturally, if you have constant remembrance of him and keep him in your heart, that will result in love. So this is the man body in which you see what you are doing and how far you have succeeded. If by hearing about God or by reading scriptures or by meeting somebody in whose society your sweet remembrance of God develops more, that is good. But best of all, even better than reading of scriptures, just have the society of someone who is overflowing with the love of God. By radiation, you will have it. If you go to somebody who sells perfumes, even if he does not sell you anything, you will still get perfume by radiation. If he gives you a vial of scent, then the best way to develop the sweet remembrance of God is to have the company of those who are overflowing with the love of God. You have got the man body, and this is the place where you can go back to the Father. You cannot go back until you develop sweet remembrance of God. This, as I have told you, can be developed first by reading scriptures, by performing certain rituals. But first-rate success will be had when, second, you come across somebody who is overflowing with the love and devotion of God. The company of such a person is called satsang. He is the mouthpiece of God. He will be able to open your inner eye to see the light of God. True love arises only when you see him. Until you see him for yourself, you must have the society of somebody who is Word made flesh. That comes first and precedes God. So the best way to develop love is to meet somebody who is overflowing with the love of God. The masters say that you have got the man body, which is the highest rung in all creation, in which you can turn your love from the world to God. Now, we have to see how far we have developed. Have we really got love for God? If so, God will meet you, sure and certain. But if you have got at heart of hearts the love of the world, which is called attachment, then you will come back again and again. That's all. We have to develop love of God. Only the question remains, where are we now attached? If we are attached to the physical body and environments, then we will come back again and again. If that very love is developed for God, naturally, where will we go? We will go to God. We cannot have love for anybody, but we can have sweet remembrance, and that can be developed. We cannot have true love for God unless we see Him. To see God, we need somebody who can open our inner eye to see the light of God, and the inner ear to hear the voice of God. The man body is the only opportunity in which we can do it, and we have got it, fortunately, for so many years. We have joined some school of thought, and we have been doing something, but how far have we developed? When rain comes, the clouds precede. If there are no clouds, there is no rain. If a fruit-bearing tree has blossoms, there is hope for fruit. If there are no blossoms, then there is no hope for fruit. The blossom and the rain clouds are the foreshadow of the fruits and the rain. Similarly, in feeling separation, crying for God, your heart becomes full. Tears rain down like anything. This is a foreshadow to show that you are nearing God. God is coming to you. A Mohammedan saint was asked whether he first saw God and then said his prayers, or whether God came after his prayers. He said, "God comes first, then I pray." He was asked how he knew that God had come. He said, "When my heart becomes full, my eyes begin to shed tears. I then think that He has come, that He is dragging me from within. Then I pray." So this is the foreshadow of the coming of God. Now, just introspect your life and see where you stand. Are you always keeping sweet remembrance of God? Just as if a man has been stabbed and feels pain, so should you feel pain for God. If that is not developed, we are nowhere. We are wasting our human life. Remain in whatever society you are, that makes no difference. We are meant for it. You have joined certain schools of thought only for love of God. If you have got love for God in your heart, all your reading of scriptures, your outward practices, have borne fruit. If you have read everything and have learned it by heart, and there is not a speck of love in your heart for God, then it is no use. It is better to burn them away. So the main thing is to have love of God. The criterion of love for God is sweet remembrance of God. You never forget Him, even while eating, sleeping, coming, or going. If that is developed, then naturally you will go to God. So delve deep down in your hearts and see how you stand. Love is developed by reading of scriptures and outward practices, but the best of all is to meet somebody who is overflowing with the love of God. He gives you this by radiation in His society. I gave you an example of going to somebody who is selling perfumes. If he does not give you anything, you still have the sweet smell of perfume. If he gives you one vial of scent, then you can have this even by sitting thousands of miles away, by directing your attention to the Master. Kabir says, if your Master lives across the ocean and you live this side, just direct your attention to Him. From radio and television, you can hear somebody's voice. You can see their face. Similarly, the Master is Word made flesh, and you can see and hear Him from thousands of miles away. So this is the criterion. Now, you decide where you stand. Do you remember God always, never forget Him? Do you feel a pain in your heart? Does your heart become full and your eyes shed tears? These are symptoms to show that you have got love for God. Such a man who has got that love within him cannot speak. The tongue of love is mute and dumb. Only tears from the eyes show that he has got that love. So this is the thing that we have to develop in our lives. We have got this man body for so many years. Most of our life has already gone. In the little time that is left, we should hurry up and develop this love as soon as possible, so that we may have that ruling passion in us for God. Then, naturally, we cannot come back to the world. If we are sent, then it is not as a prisoner, but as a doctor. So today's subject is very clear. We must develop love for God. Do everything dedicated to Him. Those who are overflowing with the love of God, their sweet remembrance, their society, also gives us a boost in that way. All reading of scriptures, rituals, or outer performances bear fruit only when your heart becomes full in the sweet remembrance of God, and the eyes begin to shed tears. I think that you can better judge where you stand now. Every day, you get something. It should be kept in our hearts, and we should see where we stand. If we have got it, well and good. We should thank God. If not, then hurry up. Pray to God that He may develop that love in you for Him. Or have such a society which goes to develop your love in that way. Well, that's the end of chapter 6. I read chapters 5 and 6 of Morning Talks. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, David, for such a loving reading. 83 of us attended today's satsang. Thank you, everybody, for joining the satsang. And thank you, Master, for bringing us all to your feet.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.